Okay, everybody should be back?
Yes.
Okay, yep. So we'll start with, are there any announcements?
Well, I'm assuming everyone knows the National Time Assessment announcement is it's coming out on May 6th.
Was there a particular time of day that was going to happen? I look back on some of, well, this is a little bit strange. I look back on some of my notes from the NCA monthly telecon, which had been every other week for the past couple of months. And yesterday was the first time I could call in only to discover that it was canceled. but in looking back at some of the notes, I thought it said there was a time of day that was going to happen.
So what I understand is, what I understand is that the NCA NACADAC meets in the morning, and when they make a vote, they vote to say yes, it is released. And when that happens, it is released. Sorry to be so obtuse about it, but that's how that works. And,
okay, but then somebody has to hit the button to make it live on the website.
Exactly.
That it.
Everybody agrees.
Okay,
yep.
So.
Good.
Yeah.
Yep. And then when that happens, it's live, and then everything kind of all the pieces of the production kind of just take over.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's kind of how it works.
Like, I'm assuming that's
okay. The reason I ask is that our telecon is on the 6th, and I just didn't know whether it would have been officially available by the time we get to talk or not. That's why I was asking.
Yeah. My understanding is that it will be live at that time.
Okay, well, maybe we can sort of plan just to start exploring it and to talk about it.
Exactly.
We don't have a formal presentation that day, but we can certainly focus our conversation around it and what people have heard up to that point, what people are planning to do, and maybe we could even explore it a bit while we're there online, on phone.
I think that makes a ton of sense.
Okay. Other announcements? I would like to let everybody know, some people are aware of the paper that JGE is having this climate change education special issue, which people submitted papers to last June. And we submitted one, which we had some conversations on this phone around collective impact and the Clean Network survey that we did a year ago right now. And that's finally accepted today, finally. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Do we know anything more about the other papers that are in there?
I do know that they had enough that it's actually going to split over two issues. So the August issue, which this one will be in, it will be the first. And I think that they'll have additional papers in the following issue. And it's a quarterly publication. So I do know that our Earth Labs paper was accepted a few months ago. Karen McNeil's paper on the research that came out of that effort is tentatively accepted as revision. So that's sort of where the Queen paper was a few months ago. And those are the only ones I know about. But those are the ones that I have participated in.
Right.
But I know that they got a really nice, I think like they got 25 papers.
Oh, great.
That are going through. So I think that is going to be split between two issues. The August one will be the first. And then there'll be one, I guess December.
Yeah. I'm guessing they're not, they're a little flexible about when they're.
Okay, I guess the other thing that it would be good to have a conversation with, Kristen and I have exchanged an email, and Kristen, I did not intend my reply to go to the entire Clean Network, but it did. I didn't realize it until after I sent it.
Which email?
The one about the speaker you invited that wanted to be paid.
Oh, that was Roberta.
Oh, that was Roberta. That's right.
Sorry, yeah.
I got you mixed up. Anyway, everybody probably saw my reply. So why don't I sort of lay out what happened? We had a conversation. It actually was about the Earth Day t-shirt, and some people were a little bit more bothered by the imagery that was on the t-shirt. And Roberta had then suggested a particular speaker, and she actually followed up with him. And there's two things that he sort of said. One was that he would be interested, but he doesn't really like virtual presentations and would prefer to be a panel, which we've done before, and we could do that in this case. But the other part that he said is that he wanted to be paid. And he doesn't want to be paid a tremendous amount of money, I think, but the thing I'm concerned about is the precedent it might set, because we really can't afford to. I mean, all our speakers have been voluntary speakers as part of their dissemination efforts. So I hesitate to pay a particular speaker just because they request it. I don't know. What are other people's senses about this?
I agree.
I
agree. Yeah.
I agree, but do we even have a way of paying, even if we wanted to?
Not an official way, no.
Exactly.
It's not a lot of money, but I really am concerned about the precedent it sets. I mean, most of us are donating lots of our time to these efforts and getting paid. If we're getting paid at all, it's minimal. So my tendency is not to pay people to present us. And if that means that we don't hear certain speakers, then I hate to have to cut out groups, but that will have to be their decision, I guess.
Well, I mean, if we really want him to speak, I wonder if you would run into him at that summit you're going to be at in New Hampshire, because he's one of the keynotes there.
That's actually a good idea.
And just sort of make him, maybe he's not aware of exactly what it is we are and how important we are. How he should want to present.
Another way that's possible, something we haven't done, but it we might be able to, is we could create a special event of some sort where there is, that we do have a little bit of money to pay for someone to do that. So I don't know, we could be doing, a special webinar that's side of this call so that we separate the two. And that if there's some payment with it, I mean, we have maybe somebody's able to sponsor it or something like that. You see what I'm getting at?
If we could get a sponsor or something, but we can't do it through any of the other. We just don't have an official mechanism to do that.
And that's why I say it would just be that we partner with someone that wants to have someone like David to talk, and it's just we advertise it to our own network, but we have to keep it separate from this. I think it's a dangerous precedent, and it's really not one that's standard, at least when I was in, doing academic stuff. It's very unusual to pay someone to present at your, university. You feed them, you'll put them, put them up, but I don't think you might have an honorarium, but even that's fairly rare. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, honorariums, it does happen. What?
Tell them we believe in free speech.
With emphasis on the free part?
Well, but in all fairness, it is an odd request to ask for a fee for that kind of service.
Mm-hmm.
This is a community group, and it's just not the way we work. And so...
Mm-hmm.
He spoke at NSDA. He's had other events, and I think Kristen, your recommendation makes a lot of sense. Maybe he just doesn't know who we are, and that's just not the way we operate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I'll make a note to try to explicitly meet and talk with him at that summit.
Good.
I think I saw his presentation at NSCA,
mm-hmm.
and I think he would be provocative for a lot of folks on this call.
Mm-hmm.
What he has to say, I think there might be some good good discussion that comes out of it.
Yeah.
Because it's different.
Well, also, if somebody is a particularly good speaker and maybe getting a lot of requests, that could be a way of just cutting down on the requests.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Are there other topics people would like to discuss today?
I guess one of the ones I'm kicking around, if we're running into an opportunity to just talk about anything, is that mm-hmm. kind of where we are, Tamara?
Yes, I think we are.
So one of the issues I'm struggling with right now, I guess you saw that we won the Webby and the People's Choice and all that stuff.
Yes, congratulations. That was fantastic.
Well,
really is.
But in all fairness, when the fact that we won the People's Voice and the Webby for Teaching Climate, what the Webby means is that the Academy went to that section and they looked at it. And mm-hmm. they said this is worthy of giving a Webby. And as you know, most of the content, if not overwhelming majority of the content in Teaching Climate on climate.gov is clean content, mm-hmm. both in the professional development and in the collection and the teaching pages.
So, Frank, getting a Webby is not just the vote. The vote was for the popular vote?
Exactly. In the green category, mm-hmm. Teaching Climate won both. The Webby, which is the Academy gives, it's like the Academy Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Then the People's Voice is the one people voted. So we got both.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And why I bring it up is really it's a testament to this community's work. Mm-hmm. If I remember right, the image that is that was used was a Will Steger professional development image was the main thing that they saw in the image, if I remember right.
Oh, really?
So,
I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Say that again, Frank.
Details.
What was it? Where was the Will Steger image?
You wouldn't know it unless you really looked at the details, but it was in the there's a screen grab that's grabbed.
Oh,
and if I remember right, that was from a time when the portal was highlighting the Will Steger, professional development that Minda was doing on the National Climate Assessment.
Mm.
And, that was the main image. But then when they go there and they explore it, they quickly get into the vast majority of the community's work. So all I'm saying is that the Webby is actually more a testament to the body of our work than is the People's Voice, which basically they just looked at five things and said, I like this one more.
Right.
Did they really go into the details of it? I don't think as much.
Probably not. But I did notice when I voted that we were so far ahead the other five, or the other four.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, we were. I mean, that's a great testament, but I'm just stressing the point that the Webby is whoever the people of the Academy were, they had to actually go to the site and explore it to give them make their decision. So
mm-hmm.
once
and
they
Frank,
do that...
And Frank, I also want you to... Yeah. I also sent an email... Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, Tamara.
I just wanted to say that I forwarded the fact that the Clean had gotten that recognition to all of the NSF programmers that have been, program officers that have been involved. So I wanted
Fantastic.
To make sure that they heard about that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I guess you guys get where I'm trying to go, is that this is not an award that goes, it's just the Clean team. In fact, Tamara, you and Susan were listed in, if you look in the details of the nomination, as program managers. And Sean Fass was nominated as the, a technical manager or something like that. That's how mm-hmm. technically how that got entered.
Where is the I don't quite see where the nomination was.
I will send you the exact what I'm talking about. But I was poking around in there, and so, I mean, I just want you to, you guys to know that this is a wider award than just you know, the way in which you are characterizing it. Okay. I get that, but I want you to make sure you get that.
Okay.
So Frank, we need to turn this around, too, is that you've been also very instrumental in making sure that happened. So that should also be acknowledged. It's very important. And that was part of, you know, long-term strategy was to find ways to sustain this project and make it much more available. And, you know, climate.gov is, I don't know whether it's completely your baby, but it's certainly the baby that you introduced us to.
Absolutely. But, you know, it's you know, these things are not done by themselves.
No.
And I just, you know, just want to make sure that everybody gets that. But the specific issue that I was raising was the Next Generation Science Standards on the CLEAN site. We have that page, you know, cleanet.org/NGSS. And in those documents, Scott, you and I did a bunch of initial alignment between the climate literacy essential principles and fundamental concepts and the NGSS final configuration. And some other people put some thought into that. But I'm just wondering, in this initial round of alignment between, you know, resources and NGSS, we couldn't leverage some of that of the CLEAN collection, the way we point people to the alignments between energy and climate. And, you know, if you're searching for this NGSS idea, here is an area, meaning this essential principle and fundamental concept, that you might find related resources. I'm just wondering if those of you on the call would find, it's not exactly the same, it's not, you know, a resources aligned, carefully done, but it's a proximity alignment. And I don't know if something like that is valuable or if it's, because I've heard Stephen Pruitt and Achieve are very nervous about alignments in NGSS. But we got to give teachers
some guidance. Yeah, but everyone's doing it. Everyone's doing it, and so if you don't do it, you're not going to get used.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
totally.
And
I did get some feedback. I think, Frank, I CC'd you on this from, forget her last name, Jennifer from Achieve.
Right. Jennifer Horick. Oh, from
what?
Achieve.
No, not from Achieve. Yeah.
This was I was asking about providing the granularity of tagging with the Next Generation Science Standards, and I'm now going to be on her email list to inform when it's actually ready, but they're not ready to release it yet, is the bottom line. So we want to align the CLEAN collection with whatever granularity it is that they're planning to basically call the official mm-hmm. level. So, Frank, I don't know that doing any other, I mean, I don't know that putting effort into any other kind of alignment is useful at this point. Teachers are really going to want to be able to come in through the Next Generation Science Standards and find resources. I think that that's the most direct way.
I'm with you, but it's just a matter of when are we able to actually do that? It's going to be a while. And so I'm wondering if there's a way to kind of give them something in the CLEAN collection, given all the metadata value that we have, that gives them, you know, something better than nothing. But, you know, you might be totally right, Tamara. Because, you know, the concepts are good.
Yeah, no, I understand, but I don't know what it is we could do that would actually make it functional for anybody other than just an exercise for ourselves.
Well, so kind of where I'm going is...
It would just be tagging...
Go ahead, Chris.
I mean, I was just going to say, it would be going through and tagging each resource. I mean, it's work, but tagging each resource with the core idea and with the practice.
Well, that's what we want to do, and we're planning to do that, but we want to do that once. I mean, there's 620 resources, And for somebody to do that, they have to go in and look at the resource. You can't just, you can't even do it. For visualizations, it'll be relatively quick. But for actual activities, you have to actually read the resource. It's not a quick process. You can't just use the catalog record and make it a judgment. I don't think.
Part of it is...
So what they're saying, though, is basically the resources that we say are aligned right now are good right now are going to be not good in 3 years. But the teachers are going to need to have some starting point for them. And I don't think we're ever going to be able to take any of the resources that I take this back. I think that the majority of resources that are in CLEAN are already, for the most part, in the spirit of NGSS, because good science education is that way, is done that way, and the resources are so vetted by scientists and by educators that they are experiential. They are about thinking about like scientists. They are taking, it's just if they're supporting a certain area. And there's no way that, I don't think there's any way we could go through this collection. There's nothing. I don't think there's any new information that's going to come out that's going to make it any easier to align them than exists right now. Basically.
Well, what we're actually looking for is I agree in spirit, but what they're planning to do, and maybe you already know that right now that each item is a bullet, but they're planning to break these down into smaller elements. And we want to tag with whatever they break it down into. And that's why we don't want to just start with what the NGSS are now, but how they're actually going to code it so that we can code it the same way, so that it can be useful to NSTA.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but I'm completely with you, Tamara, but that's the ability for us to take the 625 or so resources and carefully look at each one of them and take it down to the granularity of tagging that is in there is going to be that's considerable work, and it's important work. And don't get me wrong. But I think that I'm wondering if some of the work we've already done to date gives us an ability to point in general directions. With that, and Kristen, I mean, you're thinking and breathing this a lot right now. So I'm just wondering if somebody came in and said, you know, I see generally things in this area of the collection, you know, whatever that number is, we can even look at the numbers. So if you use a climate literacy essential principle and a fundamental concept, you know, I say, why don't I just for giggles do this and see what the number comes out to be. But it's going to be a subset of the collection. And, you know, I don't know how is that give you enough information that if you're interested in, you know, climate essential principle, the ESS 3, 0.2 or something like that, that's, you know, and you come up with, you know, 65 resources, that's good enough for you.
Yeah.
I just think that the effort to do that is even a lot, to tell you the truth.
Okay, so you're saying that the effort to we've already done it. I mean, that's the thing, is what I'm getting at, is that this is why I'm asking the question. So the work that Scott and I did is already done. The work in the CLEAN collection with tagging to climate and energy literacy is already done. Mm-hmm. What isn't done is this climate literacy essential principle and its fundamental concept is connected topically close to this NGSS, DCI. Connecting is not done.
So I'm just trying to remember what you guys, I've looked at what you did. So you guys went through and you aligned the principles already with the core ideas or the performance expectations, right? Yeah, so all you have to do essentially is pull. Right, so what you're saying is all you have to do is pull the resources that are in that principle.
Yeah.
Because it's already aligned to a PE somewhere else. And that's what you would do.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Well, that would be helpful.
You could potentially, you could potentially have a page. You could potentially have a page that says, if so, let's say you conduct a search that you say, in general, this aligned with this group of resources. You could take the URL and say, okay, that search kind of gets you at this particular NGSS. You could do that, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Frank and Scott, where is the matrix that you put together?
Let me send it. I just pulled up the page, and I'll just send it to you.
It's on the clean site, isn't it?
Yeah, if you search clean and
I don't know that
NGSS.
It's on the live.
Yeah,
say that again.
It's on
Do you think it's on the live site?
Yes.
It's on the live
it's
site.
It's a direct link only, though.
Yes.
But where? So it's not linked from anything.
No, it's not.
Because I did cleannet.org/NGSS, and I didn't get anything.
Up there. It's cleannet.org/clean/community/CLN/NGS.html. And
so,
okay, right,
camera.
And the reason
why
I
find
it was...
It's on the... All right, so after CLN, what is it? Rest of it, Scott?
It's easier, Tamara.
What?
It's easy. Just do clean, just search clean space NGSS. That's how I find it every time.
Yeah.
Don't try and type in the URL.
Clean space NGSS.
Yep. And you get the page.
And we did that for Karen's project, the Polka stuff.
This is text with a lot of links. Where is the actual alignment that you made?
Section 3.
There. This
section
is
3.
Yep.
And
scroll down to section 3.
Third section. And you'll see in there, there's PDFs and Excel spreadsheets. And there's actually 3 documents.
If you go to the last paragraph of Section 3, where it says the third document relates to climate literacy principles and concepts, and then see the PDF link, that's the one I use.
Yeah, that's the main one.
Okay.
For what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing that I don't know if you could make it into a table, but what would be... I guess the most straightforward thing, which I would not claim is a real accurate alignment, but if we could make this table live, but that each item has a link to the search of the collection that we think brings resources that address that particular item.
Yeah.
Yep.
It could potentially, that might be one way. It's just that you have them all separate here so that they wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
just something to consider. Given we've already done all this thinking and all this analysis to date, and obviously when we really get into the weeds of doing the work that, Tamara, you're thinking about, which is really the much more robust way to do this, in the appropriate way and the more valuable way, between now and then, there could be quite a bit of time. And so I think that this is a way of bringing us forward sooner.
And I don't know exactly where, if we're in the same place, but I know that the rubric that we're using is for the NSPA project is sort of them figuring out how they want to get down to granularity, but it's really not rocket science. It's looking at publicly I'm not really talking about this, but it's like what PE is it addressing, and then what practices does it address, and which
Christian, is this the equip doc rubric?
Nope, it's not. It's the quick rubric is the other part of what we use, but this is the one that they're testing on. I think we're the guinea pigs for it, basically. But
I see.
And what is the cross-cutting concepts that are being used? And then they're getting into also the Common Core and the math parts as well, and ranking other areas. But it's not. I don't know that they're. Perhaps, I'm sure there's more going on than what we're doing, but we're using a particular rubric, I think, that is what they're looking at. How are we going to get down to that granularity? But if this work was done that we're talking about, it would make it easier for me and for the other folks that are doing those particular topic areas for NSTA to get those into the collection that NSTA is posting starting this summer as well.
So you're saying that if we were to use this matrix and create the links for each of these, that would be useful.
It would be useful, yeah, because then this is on my long list of million things to do too, myself, for my little human impact middle school area. And I was planning on using this because I knew that Scott and Frank had done this to get narrow that pool to start from.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
My goal and mandate from Frank is to figure out a sequence of activity.
No mandate given here.
A sequence more so I can say these ones link, because I can do that in my evaluation when I'm doing these rubrics. One of the things is does this link to any other resources, so I can link them.
Nice. Well, I understand that this might be useful. What I'm concerned about is just having the funding to actually do it.
Right, yeah. Of course.
A person that can sit down and do that. Yeah, I'm willing to be creative here to figure out a way to get some of this done. I mean, even if it's just some of it is just, you know, with sitting down with teachers and kind of exploring, here's what clean actually generates a link for, say, a central principle and its fundamental concept. We have that already. And so I'm looking in particular at Climate Literacy Principle 6, Concept D, and I see that in our analysis, Scott, that has, you know, a connection to some of the NGSS framework, and right now that has 18 resources. Only 4 of them are activities. Most of them, 13 of them, are videos. So, I mean, you've given a pretty quick way of getting...
We're reviewing videos, too.
Yeah, yeah, so you're getting... I'm down to 18 things per teacher.
Yeah.
That's a pretty reasonable list of resources to look at.
Yeah.
So Frank, how would I'm trying to think about how we would actually do this. So where would it actually be? Would it be on the each essential principle page?
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm gravitating right now.
It's a way of grouping them.
Yeah, because go ahead, Kristen.
Well, I was going to say that I think that it would be, nice to have a page that there's a statement, though, too, about the NGSS, just acknowledging one of the things, even if teachers don't read it, but just acknowledging the three-dimensional learning and how that this collection does not represent necessarily exactly, this, but
yeah.
No, I understand that. That's the easy part.
As a starting point.
Yeah.
Well, so what? Well, for the first of all, we are going to be changing the pages some. Actually, dramatically. Frank has been in the conversations we've had with Sean about the tools. But anyway, if we go to the Teaching Climate and Energy page, we can certainly have an acknowledgement of NGSS there. the question I was sort of was addressing was a little bit deeper than that, in that would we want from this page, I would assume that it would come off of this page, would we want a separate menu item that would lead, like right now we have a page, Teaching Climate, which opens up the link to all the pages for the each essential principle. Do you want a separate page there that addressed this, or would we want within each climate literacy essential principle page, say we go to the first one, there be a section that provides the links to the ones that are relevant for this particular essential principle? Putting it there makes it very distributed, and I'm not sure that that's useful. But I'm just trying to visualize how the nitty-gritty part of it in terms of how much work it would be to actually do and what's feasible.
Right. But, I mean, I guess given we've talked about this as much as we have, the answer of this, there's value in this being done. What this is, to be determined. From here, but you know,
well,
exactly how we get there.
Well, the question is, so I still also have a question as to the value, how much value it is, and that's kind of balanced by how much effort it would take. It could be, I mean,
yes.
On this Teaching Climate and Energy page, we have one menu item that's maps of climate and energy concepts. That's the strand map, which is very quickly becoming obsolete.
Yep.
I mean, it could be that the work we end up doing for the next generation science standards ultimately replaces
mm-hmm.
this page.
Right.
Yeah, I see that happening. And I could also see some of the work that TED is doing and with Achieve they may come up with a mapping system. But definitely the NGSS is superseding the benchmarks. I don't see
the
that
benchmark.
Not happening.
The question is the tool.
Yeah.
And I don't know the answer to that. I mean, we really pushed Sean to make this tool visible within the Clean Collection, where, I mean, he and Kathy from the beginning felt that this was going to become obsolete. But there was an overlap in time in which we felt like we needed to do it. We had kind of promised we would do it. In the grant. But and then it had that automatic alignment with the old standards, which for all intents and purposes were not really used very much. And so anyway. So I can see it that this maps of climate and energy concepts page being replaced by what we ultimately do, and it could be that on this page we begin to integrate the acknowledgement of the next generation science standards, because right now it's not acknowledged anywhere.
Yeah.
Christian, you're absolutely right. We don't mention it anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would like to save this in some way, and I think there's still some value in all of this, and certainly the Atlas and strand map services are used by some folks. But I certainly agree the NGSS needs to have some promise somewhere on the website. And
well,
way.
I mean, I know
invisible way.
On Teaching Climate, I connected more forwardly.
Yeah.
In my the pages that are beyond the clean pages.
Yeah.
I mean, just it raises it. I mean, just on another thing that I did that we never did clean was the climate literacy guide is more centrally highlighted as a document in and of itself than we did in the clean pages. And, you know, clean also has I've never done that for energy literacy, which is something I know the Department of Energy wants me to do to make the energy literacy more prominent.
You have not done where?
If you go to climate.gov and you go into the Teaching Climate Literacy pages, there are pages that are specific to the climate and the climate literacy guide. I actually lifted content from the climate literacy guide and placed it in the pages. Something we didn't, which make it, really they make the call for teaching climate, and the why it's important and all that forward stuff, not in...
Oh, you mean across the top?
No, actually, if you go to Teaching Climate, you'll see pages that actually call, that have, you know, the climate literacy central print, you know, that the forward matter content that is not in the, that the central principles and fundamental contest. So, you know, if you go in there and you can see that the teaching pages, I added pages that weren't clean pages to there that said more about, you know, what is the climate literacy essential principles.
I guess I'm having trouble distinguishing where that is, Frank. I am on in that section, but I don't quite...
Do you see the climate literacy guide?
Yeah.
And you see read more?
And I clicked on that. Yeah.
And so the first page you come to is all about the climate literacy. And then you scroll down to the bottom and it says about this guide, and that's logos. That page does not exist in clean. And then, you know, the second page on there, what is climate literacy? That is all climate literacy guide content. That comes from the forward matter of climate literacy. That page in and of itself is, you know, making the case that we didn't put that in clean either. But, you know, I mean, I'm just saying that there's other kind of content that we haven't missed, but I could see a place for the NGSS that is maybe not obvious, not removing the maps, because I don't see anybody making that anytime soon, but you know, expanding and adding another page that's really about the NGSS. I think, Scott, I hear your point, and I appreciate it, given how much work we did in that.
So have a section that's like that, so you on climate.gov, you have teaching climate literacy, to have a section, another thing like that that's about the NGSS?
Exactly. Another page like the maps of climate concepts or the partnership with the collection or... You know, just adding another page, and then maybe in each of the climate literacy principles, and in your case, the energy literacy principles, if there's a page that talks about this principle and where in NGSS that principle shows up. I know Joshua has that information. I know we have that information, mm-hmm. given the work we've done. So it wouldn't only be one place, but I think it's worthy of having its own page.
As I'm sitting here mulling all this, I think that we're really missing something if we're not getting something up about NGSS here, because this is when the teachers are. I mean, they're starting. These states are like getting their curriculum together right now, trying to figure out what they're going to teach. And I think luckily, a lot of people realize that a lot of people who know about climate change education know that this is a great resource, but they don't know then once they get there, well, then they have to do this work of aligning things, and so we're sort of missing that window. And it's,
so
Kristen, go ahead.
I do agree that we should have something here that acknowledges, in the clean portal, that acknowledges the NGSS and how we're planning to at least to move forward. If nothing else, where would you put that now?
I'd make it pretty obvious, I guess. I mean, let's say you're a teacher and you come here. I'm just thinking about what I'm going to do. I'm going to browse the review education resources. I mean, there's so much as far as refining the results, but I guess it would make sense to have it down here in the other categories. You know where you have benchmarks for science literacy and environmental ed guidelines?
Well, I was thinking on the teaching climate and energy section, we could put it on
there.
That's where the thing that makes sense for me to put it. However, I'm not somebody who's coming to look for it. I'm somebody who's trying to find a place to put it that is of use to teachers.
So that's why
I'm asking you. So I could put it here. On this teaching climate and energy page, we could have it like up front, and then maybe more extensively change the title of the maps of climate and energy concepts. But then we could potentially also put it on the clean community page, links to similar to the same sections, but I'm just trying to make it so people find it. We are going to be revising. We actually have talked through revising the content of this page, but it'll still have a section for educators and learners and for resource developers.
Let me make a simple recommendation. If you, under the Teaching Climate and Energy pages, we add a page called, you know, Climate Energy Literacy, you know, in the Next Generation of Science Centers, or just something like that, and you take that page that we marked, that Scott, you've developed, and take the Section 3 correlations, modify the content to emphasize really that third section, because that's really the most useful. Whether we have to do anything, there's more to be done there, but, you know, just that in and of itself would be very valuable. And then we could always link them to this particular page as far as, you know, there's more information about how we got here. And that would be valuable today. And I don't have, it's not a lot of time to make that happen.
Yeah.
This is Jim Gray from EMS.
Hi, Jim.
We've been kind of going through a similar process with our materials, and I was just thinking the Clean Collection is such a recognized resource, and NGSS is, of course, the way forward in terms of STEM education, and I'm wondering if this would be worth putting together a grant to actually employ someone to do this work. I don't know that the grant would have to be large. We've been doing it kind of a little bit at a time with staff as resources and time permit, and we're doing it in kind of stages where we do it a little bit simple at first with sort of aligning particular chapters of our investigations or particular chapters of our books with the various things in NGSS, but with the idea that we'll revisit it when we get more resources to do it. But I wouldn't be surprised if you could, you know, would be successful. I think you would be successful if you proposed a grant to actually have the resources to actually do this in a systematic way, particularly as it becomes clearer just what the codings and those kinds of things would require.
You know, Tamara, I'm wondering if to build on what Jim just said, that while we're waiting for Achieve to kind of finalize the system you would tag with, a unsolicited proposal to NSF, who were the biggest funders of Clean in the collection, would they? I don't even know what it takes to complete the collection or complete the tagging system, but you know, if 70K, 80K, 100K, something like that.
What would you be proposing to do specifically?
To tag using the API that Achieve is coming out with for the NGSS to tag all the Clean resources in the Clean collection using that new system. That's what I'm talking about. The thing that we wanted to do, but let's get some supplementary money.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I'd be willing to go after it. So, Frank,
through the Clean Core funding, we tried to build in funds to do this, but it might be a bigger job than Noah was able to provide us funding for.
Exactly.
So,
just to finish that. Sorry, we seem to always have these lags. would an unsolicited proposal NSF accept in this area? And once we figure out the technique, it's useful for other topics beyond climate energy, but that's a pretty big chunk of the NGSS domain.
Yeah.
Well, they do take unsolicited proposals, but we would have to identify the program officer and have a conversation. Because there has to be somebody on the inside that's accepting the proposal. Yeah. So it has to be a conversation first, and I'm certainly willing to sort of talk this through a little bit more and then pitch an idea.
Let's do it.
I think it's worth a shot.
Yeah.
And Jim, since you joined late, one of the things that Achieve is working on is a more comprehensive tagging structure for NGSS. And I think that, you know, anybody who's got a lot of reservoirs of content who's spending the time right now tagging is going to be frustrated when this new system comes out, when they have to go basically go over that same terrain and recode all this stuff. So
that's why Clean is in waiting, is kind of wanting this new refined tagging scheme.
Yeah.
Well, we're doing it kind of in response to the things that Kristen was bringing up, and that is that our materials aren't really for kids. So we're doing this as a sort of an exercise to help the teachers who wish to use our materials in the classroom, but they were really not intended in that way. So will we go back and use the more formal tagging? Yes, we probably will. But we need something right now because the teachers are demanding it, and we need to be able to put that in our grant proposals and discuss it with NOAA as we work with them on putting forth NOAA Science. It needs to be there. It's a reality this day and age.
Gotcha.
Okay, so my sense is that there's two things. One is what can we do really fast now that at least helps point people to relevant resources, and that could be just incorporating some language on the CLEAN site with respect to the next generation science standards and providing them access to this alignment matrix that Frank and Scott have put together. And the other is the more extended efforts once we get the detailed coding scheme to actually then re-tag all the resources in the collection with that scheme.
Yeah.
It still leaves open the question of how this is going to be visible.
Well, in multiple places.
How this is going to be displayed.
Yeah.
Agreed. But I think, you know, we can figure that out. Mm-hmm. The point of me raising it today was just to see if it was valuable to do it. And I've heard about three different ways, yes. But it's worthy of exploring but the first question was should. And I think, you know, getting to the how is now the next question.
Yeah.
I'm sure this would be a great summer project for a teacher who's in the state implementing these.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we are. I appreciate the input today because this will really help our thinking with respect to CLEAN. We are at the end of our hour. Are there any other final comments?
Oh, feels pretty clean.
Nope.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot for contributing to the conversation today. We'll talk later.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks,
everyone.
Thanks all.
Bye.
Thank you.
Yeah.